Blog Talk Radio.
Sure I am that this day, now, we are the masters of our fate. That the task which has been set us is not above our strength. That its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith, in our cause, and unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not all the tidings will be evil. On the contrary, mighty strokes of war have already been dealt against the enemy. Wounds have been inflicted, which have bitten deep and will fester and inflame. What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? Here we are, together, facing a group of mighty foes who seek our ruin. Here we are, together, defending all that to free men is dear. If we had taken common measures for our safety, this renewal of the curse need never have fallen upon us. Do we not owe it to ourselves, to our children, to tormented mankind, to make sure that these catastrophes do not engulf us? It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
The title of the show is Carol Decretin vs. Homegrown Heroes. So welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff, Spider Mitchell. And my panellists this afternoon are Jan, the Tornado Rennie, and Dave Agador-Milner. Today we'll be discussing the elitist campaign against our brave lads in uniform, sacrificing the vital morale of our armed forces for the appeasement of our nation's internal enemies. We will also highlight the cowardice of a senior peace official and the continuing Islamisation of the UK and the rest of the wider world. Its evil presence shows its intentions of global domination, not on our watch. The English Defence League will continue to stand against this death cult. We won't take one step back. All the time this death cult and its backers example the government and its other cohorts, foot soldiers, angels and supporters of the cause. This is your voice and platform. Please call in. No surrender ever. With that, I pass it to Jan, the Tornado Rennie, and Mr. Dave Agador-Milne. Good afternoon, good morning, Dave, and good afternoon, Jan.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Jeff, and listeners, Jeff, and good morning, Dave. And we have an echo.
Oh.
Good morning, Jeff.
I wonder if that's me.
Well, Jeff, you might want to try.
If I just mute myself for a second, tell me if you still got it.
All right. Okay. Good morning, Jan, and good morning and good evening. Excuse me, Jan. Good afternoon and good afternoon to everybody in the UK, and hello to everybody around the world, whether it's afternoon, evening, or whatever. Yeah. We have got a big, big show, and a lot of it is due to Jan, who first informed us of what's going on. And, yeah, Jeff's going to call back in because he had a little bit of an echo there. But, this is some really amazing stuff here. And we've got Jan. I'm going to go ahead because really the best way to do this is just to play the audio first, one of the first audios. And then we've got two. Now, the first one is from Katie Hopkins. This one's fairly short, okay? And it's about, well, you know, it's a little more like, you know, about a minute-ish, close to 2 minutes long kind of thing. But I'll go ahead and play that one to begin with. And this will give you a general idea. Listeners, this will give you a general idea. And we will proceed from there to the Tommy Robinson audio, and then I think Jan has a thing or three that she wants to say about this. yeah, exactly. Welcome back, Jeff. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
I need your help. Tommy Robinson was stopped off at a motorway service station, a gas station, and a whole bunch of lads were there, army lads in their camouflage gear. And they all wanted a photo with Tommy. He did loads of selfies and a group photo with them that he then posted on social media. Cue the outrage. The Muslim Council of Britain have had plenty to say about it. And Imam Azim Hafiz, Islamic religious advisor to our British armed forces, has said that any form of extremism is taken extremely seriously. And now the army spokesperson has come out and said there's going to be a full investigation, and the lads have had their phones confiscated. This is simply not good enough. They are prepared to fight for our freedom, freedom that they are being denied, and we need to take action. I need you to go to standwitharlads.com. That's standwitharlads.com, and sign the petition. Say that you will not tolerate these lads being investigated simply for having their photo taken with Tommy Robinson. And I will take that petition with Tommy Robinson to General Sir Nick Carter, who is Chief of the Defence Staff. Please help me, help Tommy, help standwitharlads.com and sign the petition today.
Is that it, Dave? Oh, what's happened?
I can hear you, Jess. Don't know what's happened to me, Dave.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that's
it, basically.
Yeah, welcome
right.
back, Dave. I'm glad, actually, that Katie has done this. I think she'll get a resounding response. I think it's disgraceful. It makes you almost feel as though it's... how can I put it? It feels like they've got the upper hand on us all. And, of course, with the politicians in their corner, Islam is definitely galloping across this nation. The thing that they underestimate
yes,
people like us, Jan, and the wider circle of people that are patriots across this country. I don't think they realise that if you push a patriot, you push the British people too far. God help you. And that, it feels that way when Tommy was with a few lads just chilling out, you know, bumped into a few army lads and had a few selfies and all this hoo-ha over it. They don't want anything, anybody associated with patriots. That's it. Because they want Islam to be prominent and for us to be under the heel of this dark, evil, satanic, sadistic, barbaric cult.
Well,
but
Jeff,
I've been buggered.
You know,
I don't know about you, Dylan. Who the hell do they think they are? This backward 6th century ideology think they'll come raging into the 21st century to change the way that things have been done for thousands of years in this country. We've had these people come and we'll have them go. And we will. This will be their graveyard. They don't seem to realise there's a hell of a lot more of us than them. I don't think they quite get it today. And I don't think they realise what anger and wrath could be brought down, like we've done on the Romans back in the days of old, Jan, and all the other people that's trying to invade these our isles, our precious isles. There you go.
Right. Well, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and play. Now, this one is from Tommy Robinson himself, okay? And this is one. This will last about 12 minutes, and then I know Jen is champing at the bit. She's ready to go. So I'm going to play this one. And this will give you guys a little bit more of a complete picture. And some of this stuff is just unbelievable. You know, so give this a listen, folks.
I have spent, from first thing this morning until literally just 2 minutes ago, non-stop, I've been on my phone all day. I've had people who are serving for our armed forces ringing me and contacting me non-stop. People telling me about the morale in the armed forces. People, before I go into it, let me just read this one. I sometimes wonder if the top brass, who are like politicians, who, in comparison, this one being told as well from the members of the armed forces, who have never been on the battlefield, who are highly educated, who are more like politicians than soldiers, if they are really that out of touch with the feeling of their troops. It's like our politicians. They're that out of touch with how we think and how we work. And I think it's just from talking to everyone, it's exactly the same in the armed forces. They have come crushing down on a young recruit. A young recruit who's been in his training process, who's been getting screamed at as he works as hard as he can, and he's probably had, as the other lads have just told me, he'd have had dark times in that training process where he thinks, is this what I want to do, as he struggles with his training. And he's prepared and was willing to give his life to the armed forces. And some privileged man at the top has decided that because he shared a selfie, he can take all that opportunity, all that life that he was going to lead away from him. Now, whether they are that out of touch, if you can read any comments, I'm reading all the comments. Read the comments from members of the military, ex-members of the military. I'll read one here. Tommy Robinson has more support in the British Army than Theresa May. Be warned, if you start to prosecute soldiers for their support of him, you'll see something happen you cannot control. As a former British paratrooper, I'm telling you straight, we underwrite you. He then goes on to say, in a democracy, TR should be allowed to say what he wants to say based on his own experiences. None of the soldiers, trainee or otherwise, are entering some dodgy parallel political force. They serve the crown. But attacking them because of a picture with a British citizen. Really? Now, what they're saying is, because none of them have backed this up, and I've actually got it on authority, and I've got evidence of this, that today, leading members of the military have been briefing all of their soldiers all over the country to tell them that they're not allowed to follow me on Facebook, and any of them that want to share my views, there's no place for them in the army. What are my views? No one can tell me the problematic thing it is that I say or do that causes this problem. This is simply dancing to the tune of, I saw Majid Nawaz actually commented this earlier. He linked the Muslim Council of Britain and the ones that the British Army are dancing to their tune. They're the ones that are sacrificing this young lad because of their complaints. Actually, in the briefing, the representative in the army said that they have to keep the Muslim community happy. They have to keep the Muslim community happy. So this young kid, his career's taken away from him to keep the Muslim community happy. Because, of course, we can't allow for them to be unhappy. Now, one thing I've taken from today, which is actually, I think, is quite dangerous and it's not good. I'm a British citizen and I think that we have to have a strong British armed forces with great morale. I have been on the phone non-stop hearing horror stories of the feeling amongst members of the armed forces. The feeling, not just over this, but this could be the final straw for a lot of them, that they feel, I'll actually just tell you exactly what this lad just said, and I know that him and all the other lads are watching this. So, all right, lads, how you doing? And we'll catch up at some time, but I'll just, you might lose your job for it. So, he said that if we went to war again soon, then he believes many people would not go to war. Many of the people who are serving have had enough. And that maybe they could send the silver-spooned leadership who are currently sacrificing this young man and the young men that would be on the front line, maybe they can send them over to handshake Mohammed or Abdul on the other side and meet them. They're actually quoting his words. But that's, I just think that it's a very dangerous situation and a very, you want to have a strong armed forces with a strong morale, and they're understaffed, undermanned, treated like shit. And now when you mix all of that with the political correctness in the middle of it, the British Army are young, or have always been, predominantly tough, working class, English men. That's what they've always been. That's what they are now. No matter what way they want to paint it, no matter what way they want to do it with all their inclusive diversity and flying rainbow flags from all the military barracks, there's always been gay people, and no one's against gay people being in the army. But this massive push and drive for LGBT, and not just LGBT, but transgender, all of this within the armed forces, which is a predominantly, as I said, a tough, straight, working class force of men ready to fight to protect all of us. And the morale, if even on just their recruitment videos, and I know there was a big backlash then because I received thousands of contacts and emails from people who were fed up, people who were actually wanting to leave. I actually had some people saying that the armed forces wanted to strip their forces again by another 10,000, and the easiest way to do that was their recruitment videos, because so many young men would have said, I've had enough of this now, which this incident that's just happened today would add to that. But that's it. I just wanted to, I think the more people I'm speaking to in the armed forces, the more people I'm speaking to find out, and I just wonder if really this decision, just like the decision to imprison me for giving facts that were already in the public domain, That hugely backfired on the establishment. Hugely backfired. I think this decision is going to hugely backfire in the process already. And I know that by the contact and the amount of serving soldiers that are constantly contacting me. One serving soldier today has been fired and kicked off of his barracks because he contacted me. You can't fire and kick them all and sack them all, because I mean literally hundreds and hundreds are contacting me today. So, yeah, I just really wonder if you're really grasping the feeling in amongst your own recruits. Again, good night, and there'll be more updates tomorrow. We're at 107,000 signatures on a petition in less than 24 hours. That's huge for petitions, as far as petitions go. Huge. Bigger than any, well, most of the petitions that get headline news everywhere. So, and you've already seen the, anyway. People have it enough, not just in the military, across this whole country. I sense that everyone I meet and everyone I speak to. And it all comes down to an agenda to silence people. Free speech. How can a soldier, how can a member of our armed forces not be allowed to take a... Well, I'll ask again, which I say, what is it I've done? What is it I've done? I've been convicted of no hate crime, no racism, no extremism, ever. What is it I've done? What this is about is attempting to make me, because I think they fear the groundswell of support that's grown and the movement that has been built, and I think they fear it. In fact, I know they fear it. And this is about making me a pariah that is untouchable for many because of your jobs. They want you to be worried and scared of losing your job so that you'll stay away or won't want to be associated with me, because most people now say, look what happened to the young recruit. He lost his job for being photographed, and you can't go near Tommy Robinson. You can't show support for Tommy Robinson. In fact, I've got it with evidence, which will come out tomorrow, that their leaders are telling them now you can't follow him on Facebook. You can't follow him. Now, a lot of people are going through the guidelines within the military that say you're not allowed to be members or political organisations, or prescribed political organisations. I am not a political organisation. I'm an individual. I'm a journalist who reports news and brings the news to people. I'm not an organisation. I don't see the problem. I'm just a citizen, a British citizen. And in fact, if you read, I think I went through this earlier. If you read I started going through and having a read on the website of... Basically, on the Armed Forces website itself, it says that they must show respect to all citizens when in their uniform. They must show respect and treat citizens the way they'd wish to be treated. That's their duty. They have to. And now you want to sack them for doing that. Because you shared yourself. Anyway, good night. I'm knackered. I'll give you more updates. But as I said, we're at 107,000 signatures. That's going to continue to rise, so please continue to share it. It takes 1 minute. I know many people think I was one of those people. Whenever I got petitions, I just thought everyone else can sign it. You see, if they realise before the date of, they've given a date, I believe, for this lad to be discharged, and it's in, let me have a look. Yeah, it's early next week, I believe. So hopefully they'll see the groundswell of support for him. Hopefully they'll see in the next coming days a lot of support from within the armed forces for him, and understand that they're making a mistake, a huge mistake. And also the narrative that's been pushed again by the media, this is what they do. Yeah, have you seen the narrative of all saying he has a long disciplinary history, a long negative? He hasn't been in the military that long. I spoke to people today from his regiment who work with him, who have said it's bullshit. It's lies. But then they make it seem that he's got a real negative history, so this is the final thing. But the truth is, they're sacrificing him to please the Muslim Council of Britain. Unbelievable.
There you go, guys.
Well, I think that says it all. What Tommy had to say, that young soldier is a sacrificial lamb. The only thing is what they're doing to this young man is making him a high status. What they're doing, the whole of the, seems like thousands of people have been in touch with Tommy, 100,000 plus signatures on that petition. The government thinks they'll go along with the Muslim Council of Britain, whatever they want to call themselves, just to appease them, because that's all it is, total appeasement. And they do not gauge the real feeling of the citizens of this country. I'm saying citizens, not just, you know, army, ex-personnel, etc., but the citizens of this country, the indigenous peoples of this country, bowing and scraping and to this cult, this death cult, just to appease them. And, of course, Theresa May doing her silly dance to appease these people. It makes me sick. But well done, Mr. Robinson. Well done, Katie, and everybody else that's standing up. We need to make a stand, Simi. This can't continue. Can it, Dave? Can it, Jan? It can't continue. But it seems there's a... Well, is it time for a revolution? Is it time for a coup? Whatever, it seems there's a hell of a lot of people out there. Discontentment amongst the civilians of the country is it's very dangerous for those in power. You upset the people. The people are the real catalyst of what could happen in this nation. And the whole world is watching how things pan out. Tommy Robinson, a very high statesman, he talks about it everywhere, isn't he now, Dave, isn't he, Jan? More so since he served that time in prison. And, you know, a journalist and an author, and as I say, the founder of the English Defence League. I mean, try to silence people with this high profile. It's how you bring about the fall of governments, Dave and Jan. And Jan, I know you was quite angry about the whole situation, and you've been, you know, an part of an army family. Jan, I'd like you, mate, Dave, if it's okay, let's see Jan how she responds to what she's heard. Jan?
This is just a total nightmare for the military. It's been about 10 years ago that I first heard of the changes within the British Army, i.e., as Tommy explained, these silver spoon leadership officers that never have been in battle, have no intentions of ever going into battle, have no clue. Some of them can't even map read. That's how good they are. But they're willing to throw the lambs to the slaughter. The discipline is completely broken down. It has been for over 10 years. That's when I first heard about what was going on within the military. But we're still recruiting young lads, good lads like that was filmed with Tommy, pictured with Tommy. You can see how young they are, how enthusiastic they are for joining the military. It's what the Brits do. And I just posted a photograph of Tony Blair with a mass of soldiers around him, and I've told people to compare the faces. The ones with Tony Blair are downbeaten and look at him with contempt, and some with hatred. And when you look at the picture with Tommy and them young lads, it's like jubilation. It's like, if you like, they know that he's speaking the truth, Tommy, on everything he has put his name to. What's happening here is this young lad has been used as an example. They've made an example of him.
Scapegoat.
Yeah. Put the fear of Christ in the rest of them. Now, I've just heard that there's a possible 37 now been dismissed. I'm just trying to look this up.
Someone
has said, yep, yeah, hang on, I've got to accept the privacy because I've got ad block. Army launches investigation after Tommy Robinson posts videos surrounded by soldiers. Someone has said, never mind getting rid of the one. The whole 37 others need to go. So I presume there was 38 lads. Now, this is just ridiculous. And to even, you know, Katie mentioned this cretin, what's he called? I've just tagged it, I don't know where he's gone. Yep, yep. He was actually, let me have a look. He was actually honoured. He was honoured by the Queen. And he's got, I mean, we've got padres in the army. And now we've got imams. I didn't even know we had imams in the army.
Yeah, I've heard about this for a while, Jane.
It's absolutely ridiculous. This is a Christian nation. The West is Christian, yeah. And yet we're having these Muslims guiding us, interfering.
I want to put a question to you. Dave, I hope you don't mind. I want to put a question to Jane, and Dave, maybe you respond. You can respond as well. With what they're doing to this young man, and as you said, there could be a possible other 37 army personnel could find that they'll be kicked out. Is this a way that the Islam Council of Britain it does away with our army and establishes themselves, you know, more forthrightly without the fear of an army stepping in and to take them on? What's your thinking behind what I've just said, Jan? How do you feel about that?
I'm raging because there's such a thing as court martials, and I know there can be a waiting list for these pathetic court martials, what's going on now about bullying and other things, because if you like, members of LGBT, I mean, now they can't even do push-ups without getting charged. Senior NCOs get charged for making a guy do push-ups. We should have a stronger army. We've always had a strong army, and now we're having the dregs of society, if you like. Not the ones that Tommy's talking about. I'm talking about the ones that are allowing in because of political correctness, that don't really want to be in the army. They just are looking for the pay packet, if you like, and let me see how pretty I look in a uniform. No place in the army for people like that. I'm sorry. There isn't. If they're going to pussyfoot around and cry about doing push-ups, cry about trudging through mud in the boots because it makes them dirty, there is no room for these type of people. Now, how they're not doing this, or even, he has not, he's been charged, obviously, but how long has that charge lasted? 24 hours? There needs to be a full investigation over, which would come to nothing because there's nothing to investigate. They met Tommy on a forecourt of a gas station, got the photographs taken, probably had a wee chat about things. Tommy probably asked them how they were all doing because we all care about our soldiers. And this has escalated into total political bullshit. Now, this guy who's opened his mouth, the first Muslim chaplain to the UK Armed Forces, Muslim chaplain, he has been presented with an OBE for his services to defence. Now, his name's Iman Azim Hafiz. I think there must be about 36 people with that name on Facebook alone. I had to search through quite a few of them. He's an Islamic religious advisor to the chief of the defence staff and service chiefs. He has been made an order of the British Empire for his services to defence and support of operations in Afghanistan. Operations in Afghanistan. What did he actually do in Afghanistan? Probably hindered the British Army more than anything. We've still got guys in Afghanistan, both Americans and British. There's been no achievement in Afghanistan whatsoever. Listen to the honour in his recognition of his work providing spiritual and pastoral support to Muslims serving in the UK Armed Forces. Now, I don't know about you lot, but I don't agree with any Muslims in our armed forces. Due to what's happened in the fast boat, both with the Americans and the Brits and other nations, where they've turned the guns on our serving soldiers. And it comes during Islamic Awareness Week. We've even got an Islamic Awareness Week. Where's our Christian Awareness Week? If we had a Christian Awareness Week, we'd be in the shit. Now, come on.
Yeah.
The Muslims will be moaning
about it. That's what would happen. And the insensitivities of having a Christian, week, would really upset them. So, of course, they would rather do the opposite and not have anything like that. We don't want to upset them. Well, this is what they think, isn't it? How petty, how stupid. But just before we continue, Jana, I've just got to let yourself and Dave know that we've got a few guests that's joined us in the chat room today. We've got Gary Kemper.
Okay.
He's joined us. Gary, it's always good to see you, brother. And we've got Kel. Fidel Fox is joining us today.
Hello, Kel.
Pressing
away. Hi, Kel.
And we've got Vorpalbite. Vorp, I saw him. He banged my lampshade, he did, as he swung into the chat room today. But of course, they're saying a few things in the chat room with the situation, and it is talkative subjects. It's worrying, isn't it, what's going on in the country? He says everybody knows Tommy was illegally arrested. Everybody knows the government was coming up, covering up grooming gangs. So what's left to be won? A red badge of courage? That's what Vorp just said, you know. he also says, I see the unusual suspects. Oh, yeah. But anyway, I thought I'd let you know, guys, that we've got a few guests that's join us, and it's always good to see people, sort of in the chat room and commenting. And Kel put a couple of links in or a link in earlier. Thank you for that, Kel. But I think this story about the young soldier being disciplined and sacked, basically, as you say, Jan. It takes a while for court martials to proceed. There is a procedural, due process, even in the military, isn't there, Jan? You know all about that,
It's been thrown out. Obviously, it's been thrown out. It appears, and there's one good thing that's come out of this, is Imam Asim Hafiz obviously has greater power than anyone else in our military. He's calling the tunes right now. What we found out because of what's happened with Tommy Robinson is he has been in charge since 2005. That's 13 years. He was awarded for his support in peace building, stabilization and conflict in Afghanistan. Have you ever heard such crap? What stabilization in Afghanistan? 13 years of this man being an advisor to the British troops. Who runs the British Army? It's certainly not us. And because he's upset by this, and like Tommy says, you know, we can't be allowed to upset Muslims. As he is chief, you know, he's the religious advisor to the chief of the defence staff. He's obviously got more pull than
the Muslim, isn't he? I mean, have got Christian backgrounds. I mean, what help is he? He can't be a spiritual advisor to a Christian soldier. I mean, you just can't be being an imam it's a totally different ideology. Am I right, Jen?
Yes, and not only that, we've had another gobshite. Excuse my language, people, but you know, we've had another Muslim gobshite sprouting her opinions. This is, what's her name, that stupid bitch, let me see where she is, there you go, Naz Shah, Muslim MP. Of course, she's got this hang up.
She the one who told the girls to shut up about being raped or something. Is she the one?
Yes, she said about the girls in Rotherham. She said for the good of diversity, these young girls who were raped should shut their mouths. And now she's saying...
Go on, Jan. I'm sorry. I'm starting to lose it myself, thinking, who the hell does she think she is? She's not been in that position. How dare she? And then make comments about soldiers serving in the British Army. Who the hell does she think she is? She's a bloody Muslim.
She has said that the standard...
I'm sorry, Jan. It's infuriating, isn't it? Yeah. And I know how you feel, Jan.
It is very infuriating. She's now saying that the Army's values and standards will face administration investigation. In other words, they'll probably vet more young lads as to whether they join the Army. Of course, Nashar MP has got a hang-up because she had a clitoris removed when she was a child. Of course, these women all have hang-ups, but, you know, they open their mouths in my country, they can't open their mouths in their own country. What? I can't believe that we've got MPs. Well, I can because the Muslims vote for them. But as I've said on my wall, the more Muslims that come in, the more Muslims that reach voting age, the more power the Muslims are going to get. They've already got too much power. We're kowtowing to them. We are lying down to this. Well, let me tell you, we have got so many millions of soldiers that have resigned, still young men. We've got older men in the 60s, 70s, of course we have. We have got men in the 30s. That are disillusioned with the British Army and they have left. Make no mistake, they are highly trained. Up until 10 years ago,
mercenaries. I mean, isn't it, Jan? Let's be honest. I mean, you're treated like that. You've got the Army trained.
Yep.
This is how you're pushed towards becoming mercenaries, etc. Another army setting the country away from what's the standard that the army is now. This is what could happen. Another army's formed, and there could be a coup in this country with the way the behaviour of politicians is pushing it to that boundary, isn't it, Jan? It really, really is.
It certainly is. Makes me wonder about
could
the people
that... Could we see
that,
a coup in this country, Jan? Could we see that? We talk about other countries with coups. Could we see it in the United Kingdom?
I'm not sure about that.
But do you think there is a feeling there that, as you say, the disillusionment with ex-soldiers, some of our dear friends, ex-military, how angry they are. But, you know, so maybe there's a lot out there, but we won't go into no details because we don't want to give the dirty enemy, them scuzzbags out there, any ammunition against us or our dear friends, our ex-military friends. So I don't want to say too much, but it's just me thinking out loud, and I just wanted to share my thoughts with the listeners and yourself, Jan. And Dave and good people in the chat room. I just want to put that out there, Jan.
Yeah, I would advise any of these soldiers. There's a military lawyer in Belfast who works within Britain. Even his solicitors are ex-army. I suppose they left disillusioned, but they are a good team in Belfast. I would advise them to get in touch and fight their corner. Battle against their dismissal if they dismiss this young lad, you know, get lawyers
on it.
That's
very good advice, Jan. If any of you guys are listening out there and you've got that experience, maybe you can help out in your own capacities of what you do. So it's just a bit of a shout out to some of those that might be listening, or they might listen on the podcast or something, mightn't they? This is really bad. I didn't realise the deterioration was really overwhelming of what we see now. We did say that things was going to deteriorate, but we, we're seeing the deterioration within the British Army. We know the British Army is supposed to fight with one arm behind the back. This is what they're told. They got to fight in a political correct way, and I think it's disgraceful. As Donald Trump said a little while ago, socialism. Look at Venezuela. This is what happens with socialism. That's what we got in this country. We could end up the same way as Venezuela. We could end up eating our bloody, the animals in the zoo, things like that. Because of these people, this socialist idea is devastating. And I can see it like the point on the end of my nose now, Jan, exactly what Mr. Trump, your president was talking about, Dave, because we're experiencing socialism going hand in hand with the cult of darkness. It's just unbelievable.
Well, even a leader of UKIP has also turned on Tommy Robinson. Former UKIP leadership candidate Ben Walker claimed that the brave soldiers were just civilians and not soldiers. Walker, 39, is a member of the influential National Committee and was allegedly part of a dodgy backroom deal by the NEC to crush plans to let members decide if Tommy could join the party in August. Walker, who served in the Royal Navy during the Afghan War, added, I have to snigger at the war in Afghan with the Navy, actually, that the recruits were just cadets. In a Facebook post, pictured are reportedly regular army recruits training at Catrick. This man says he wouldn't want to be associated with Mr. Robinson. Walker said that there is no way that a court-martial would be convened in less than 24 hours to dismiss somebody from military service. Shortly after his comments, the army confirmed he had dismissed the soldier over the photograph. So all you UKIP voters, that the barely existent UKIP, had a discussion this morning with a girl who's saying, oh, let's vote UKIP. How can we vote UKIP when we haven't got any candidates? So you vote UKIP and we will have the Labour Party in. And when you come to, could there be a coup in this country with Parliament, with MPs, with the Prime Minister? Yes, we could, once Labour gets in. Not sure about the Tories, but Labour, definitely. We're dealing with terrorists then. They're all not. Back to you.
Yeah, go on, Dave. I'm just getting this link and I'm just putting it in the chat. Go on, Dave.
Right. Well, what can I say except I've been thinking about this story all night. And one of the things that happened over here in the States, you've had soldiers and, members of our military leaving the military for the past 25 or so years, certainly ever since the Clinton administration. Just because they were so disgusted by the political correctness and other BS that they're having to go through at this point. It appears to me as if the Muslims and the peoples whose strings they're pulling don't care if there are mass resignations from the military, because they could just fill those positions up again with Muslims. And remember the story, or rather, remember the speculation that we had some weeks ago about a possible EU army full of nothing but Muslims, because, again, over in the EU, they've got a wealth of military-aged, fit, as you guys would say over in the UK, young men with nothing to do. So why not put them in an army and make them a bunch of thug mercenaries, but arm them up nicely and everything else? Well, if you're a Muslim trying to manipulate things in the UK, you might be thinking, well, why not do that right here in the UK? That way we could keep the people in line because the army would be full of Muslims. It's an evil, dark thought but it's an evil dark thought that I had regarding this, because it's no wonder that these young men are disillusioned. You know, you have military forces around the world now who are having to kowtow to political correctness. This has been going on again for about 25 years. Instead of live fire training, they're learning about recycling. Military bases being closed all over the place. That began in the first Bush administration. And that's been a while now. And less money for new equipment and weapons and things of that nature. Well, we got a little bit of an increase thanks to President Trump over here. But this is something that's gone on the whole world around. Kel can tell you, in Canada, funding for their military has been drastically reduced. And morale is in the crapper everywhere in the Western world, in the military, because not only do you have to deal with all the political correct garbage, you're not even allowed to fight. If you fight, you know, if you're in an operation and you actually go in and fight and kill the enemy, you're brought before a court martial. How many times have we seen this in the UK and in the States? Oh, well, you killed the enemy. You weren't supposed to do that. There you go. Yeah. None of it surprises me anymore. So, it's evil, dark thoughts, and it's just based once again on Muslims wanting to, as you put in the script, Jeff, dominate the world. And what better way to dominate the world than dominating the world's armies?
Exactly, Dave. Dave, I hope you don't mind, but Fulpal Bites puts a very interesting couple of comments here. So I was wondering if you and Jan would like to listen to what he's just saying. He says, demoralization. And he goes on to say, socialism breaks three of the Ten Commandments that I can count. One, replaces God with worship of the state. Two, envies the wealthy guy. And three, thou shalt not steal. So there you go. There's a few thoughts that... Gary Kemper goes on to say, if you kill the enemy, they win. Justin Trudeau. And Kel also mentions Canadian vets are fighting for their pensions. So there you go. There's a few comments in the chat. I think everybody is very highly charged over discussion that we're having today, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to say one more thing. You know, This came about with a conversation with my brother, who left the U.S. Air Force because he was just sick of the PC garbage and everything else during the Clinton administration. and this happened because a boss on a job I was working at said that morale was not his problem, and my brother said something that's just a basic truth, and I'm sure anybody that's been in the military or is in the military and listening to this will agree, no, morale is everybody's problem. Actually, my brother said morale is everybody's effing problem, but...
there you go. I'd expect your brother to say that, Dave.
it's true. But it is. I mean, morale... a demoralized army is an army that is not effective. And what Tommy Robinson said, I'll double down on. Nobody here is for gay bashing or anything like that. But for the most part, military forces around the world have been straight men. Okay. And yet, this has happened in the States and evidently it's happening in the UK as well. Again, for about the past 25, close to 30 years now, these forces have been made petri dishes for social experimentation. They're not meant for that. They were never meant for that. The job of a military force is to train for and prosecute war. That's all. Okay, but you have civilians that are trying to treat them like a regular corporation or something like that, and it simply will not work, because I can guarantee that the armies in let's say Iran, ISIS, Boko Haram, excuse me, the Russian military, the Chinese military, all of these forces are not following that example. The example they're following is train to kill the enemy and then kill the enemy, because that's what you have to do when you're in a military force. We have been weakened. All of our countries have been over the past
century.
Well,
the army's become like social services, isn't it, Dave? You know, it's looking that way. It's very sad.
Well, and Jan's got a point. You know, she said, you have people who are joining the army, and it's not just in the UK. It's in the States as well, who figure out, okay, well, you know, I'll get a nice paycheck and I'll look snappy in the uniform. But they don't want to do push-ups and things like that. I heard in the late 90s, they had a program in the basic training in one of our services where you could hold up a yellow card if the basic training was too hard for you. And, look, those who might be listening and don't know me, I am the unpleasant blind guy. That ain't because I have a bad leg, okay? Nobody wants me flying an airliner or driving a city bus. There are some things physically that I simply cannot do, and I would never force myself in the regular military. That would just be an insult to all of my family and others who have gone before. I'd never do that. And yet you have social experimentation trying to wedge people in who are neither physically nor mentally prepared to be in the military. You have, here in the States, you have two sets of physical requirements for being in the military, one for men, one for women. Okay, in my opinion, that should be just done away with. There should be one set of physical requirements. If you can meet them, who cares what kind of fun bits you have? But don't make a lesser set of physical requirements just to bring in another gender. All right, this is all swirling around this business with this Muslim pulling all the strings and wanting to dismiss not just this Muslim, but, you know, apparently lots of Muslims wanting to dismiss these young men who only want to fight for their country.
I agree, Dave. It's about dumbing down our British Army. It's dumbing it down. Not all these stupid adverts we keep seeing on the TV. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing watching them. I mean, you know, there was one, Jan, you know the one I'm talking about. They're on a battlefield. They're walking along. All of a sudden, this Muslim kneels down, takes his helmet off, takes his boots off, whatever he does.
Yeah.
And they all stop.
Going back,
and one holds his hand up. You know, as if to say, look, stop firing the bullets at the moment. This guy's doing his Muslim tutu, whatever. And they... How embarrassing, and where's the bloody discipline? There's no discipline there. They could have all ended, that little group of people could have all ended up dead through this person wanting to do his prayers in the middle of a battle. You don't do that. It's embarrassing. The government is disgusting to what it's trying to do. The appeasement, it jumps out at you. We're all experiencing, I know what Kyle and Gary Kemp is experiencing in Canada. There is a fight back going on in Canada at the moment. I've been hearing that people have had enough of this wanker Justin, the shiny poly Trudeau. People have really had enough of him. And I think by 2019, whenever you got your elections, Kyle, He'll be gone. That's
I'm not
my belief.
Class with less than 80,000 troops, which we are sitting less than 80,000 troops. So Really, we haven't got an army. And going back to what Dave was saying about who they recruit, now, I'm no way knocking the Welsh Guards back in the Falklands, but if you remember the Sir Galahad that was attacked, was because the Welsh Guards were
never
put
forget that.
In the Falklands. They were not trained for that weather. They were not trained to fight a battle like that. They were put onto the shore. They had to rescue them because they were cold and freezing. Tupara took over that. Tupara helped the injured, etc., etc. Now, Tupara, One Para, Three Para, the Marines, they are all trained. Brecon Beacons, they do the P Company. They live and have to train in very bad conditions. Most of them don't get through. You can say 40 out of 100 probably get through. Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe 60 out of 140 get the caps taken off them.
The cream of the crop, isn't it, Jan? It's the cream of the crop. I mean, they're really hard men. Hardened men.
Yeah, but that's what happened in the Falklands when they put untrained soldiers down on that beach and they were freezing. They couldn't do it. And that's, you know, this is
really, really, I remember... You know, Jan and Dave, I remember I watched as this all unfolded when we went to war, when the flotilla of ships went, and you see them training on the ships. Sir Galahad, was it Sir Galahad? They used, it was a big flotilla, and we was all concerned, but we thought they'll do their job. They do what they're good, but we took some losses, didn't we, Jan? We lost a few ships. What was it? One of them that we lost. And one of the guys on that on the ship actually come from where... When I lived in London, he lived at the back of me, a young fella he was, and he was on the ship that was... Sheffield, wasn't it? The Sheffield. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Jen?
Yes.
What did we hear back then? El Grano. What happened to the poor Argentinians back then? Everything was about the Belgrano. Nobody mentioned the Sir Galahad or the Sheffield or whatever. But, you know, that's war for you. Don't put people in wars that can't do the job.
I agree 100%. Jan, I mean, it does make you think of what we're heading towards, you know. So we really live in serious, dangerous times now. And today, Dave, something that goes away from the story a little bit. I heard the story today of a guy that was going to use a 200-pound bomb, and he was going to do a suicide bombing thing. And because he was in touch with someone, that's the only reason why they found out. But it was going to be one of these big services things, and he was going to use himself for political reasons. No one knows yet what the political reasons are behind it, but it just goes to show you that we live in really dangerous times, isn't it? We've got to be so bloody careful, you know? I'm sorry about that. I've switched gears just for a second. It's just that it went through my mind what I heard earlier on today on Fox News. Dave?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I haven't seen that story yet, but look for how much it's covered as to what their political intentions were. If they were a lefty, it'll sink out of sight and you'll never see it again. If they're someone on the right, they'll be talking about it the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's definitely asked to be a lefty because they switched off from saying who, if he was a Democrat or Republican, they switched straight off from it. So you know straight away, if he was a Republican or something like that, on that persuasion, they would be all over it. The news, CNN and CBS and the whole lot of them would be downing him like a ton of bricks. But no, they're very quiet about it. I've said too much, have they, Dave?
Well, yeah, and by the way, as you guys were talking, I was looking this up, and of course, you know, the numbers would be different, I'm sure, in different countries, okay? But, you know, I'll give this to you as well, Jeff, for the chat, just for edification. You know, the numbers, remember the numbers that Jan mentioned, and a field army in the United States is now considered 50,000 men. So you could say, Jan, I think that's, you know, your entire British military force then would equal basically two U.S. United States Army field armies. Am I more or less in the ballpark there?
Well, battalions used to consist of about 500 men.
Mm-hmm.
And now the battalions, I don't know, 2,500. We're less than 80,000 army.
Okay, well then, that's just a little bit more over here from what I can see on this than a field army in the United States. So it's still technically an army, but it's a pretty small one.
We can hardly boot 38 lads for having a photograph taken with Tommy Robinson. It's absurd.
We're
the laughing stock of the world. The laughing stock.
Well, no, okay.
Let me
put it this way.
That, Jan,
the people of the UK are
that.
Not a laughing stock. The leaders are. But go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Dave. But a thought was going through my head as we've been discussing the whole situation with this young guy being sacked. No court martial, just sacked.
Yeah,
these guys was all happy to talk to Tommy, and they really appreciate it. It's as though they would leave. These guys would probably go into battle knowing Tommy was a leader. I mean, it's quite obvious that he's become a focal point of people looking towards a true leader. A leader who leads by the front. I mean, I would say, I've said it before, the latter Oliver Cromwell of our times now, Dave. Not a latter Robin Hood or whatever, Richard the Lionheart, but I would say a latter Oliver Cromwell.
The establishment was terrified of Tommy Robinson. Absolutely terrified.
Oh, horrified, yes. Jeff, I wonder, you may be going over your time, brother. You know, if you'd like to call back in, I've got a fairly short tune that I can play, and then we can hit the rest of the show. How about?
Yeah, no problem, Dave. The bird's a bit noisy as well, so, yeah, I'll be right back. Thank you, Dave.
All right, guys. So we'll be right back. We'll have about 20 minutes of the show left, but here we go. We're going to play a little tune. It's about 2.5 minutes. Here we go.
£5.
I Jupiter, love that dude.
Tune. Thank you, Dave. Brilliant, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were going over a little bit.
It was just
you know,
right
but,
at that time, wasn't it? Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Charlie likes it. By the way, guys, for those of you who don't know, Charlie is our executive producer. She calls a lot of the tunes. Jeff, you found this one originally, this story. And we don't have a lot of time left, but I did want us to cover this one. If nothing else, just because I spent all that time getting the slide together. Jan sent a slide in too. So we'll have just enough time to read a bit of this, or I will. And then Jan, you can comment. We'll do what we do.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
This was done 3 days ago. This is by Tristan Kirk of the Evening Standard. And the headline is awesome. I locked myself in car as Westminster Bridge attacker struck, says the Met chief. And, there the guy is, standing there looking like he's constipated or something.
Like
okay.
A total wanker, Dave, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. A Met police chief locked himself and two unarmed colleagues inside his official car for protection as terrorist Khalid Massoud stormed the gates of Parliament, he told an inquest today. Deputy Commissioner Sir Craig Mackey was leaving a meeting when he absolutely determined extremist when the absolutely determined extremist burst into the Westminster grounds armed with two kitchen knives. How he was able to do that, I don't know. But anyway, Massoud, age 52, had already killed four people by driving into them on Westminster Bridge and would go on to fatally stabbed unarmed again police officer PC Keith Palmer. Sir Craig, then the Met's acting commissioner, said his first instinct was to secure his chauffeur-driven car. Oh, well, that's first instinct of every lawman, isn't it? No, it's not. I was sitting in the car with two other people. One colleague had clearly seen what was going on. He told Massoud's inquest at the Old Bailey. I locked the doors. We had no protective equipment, no radios. We had been in a ministerial meeting and literally came out of that. Oh, my God. Okay, I can't read any more of this garbage. Okay, no, not even a radio? All right. Jeff, I'm sorry, Jan, would you like to take this?
Well, Dave, I said this going back ages ago that all we got out of the way that the police force is run these days is by the text message. Run, hide, and tell. That is the procedure of what these people did. These guys that locked themselves in the car were part of the elitist part of the hierarchy. But they're supposed to be of a higher part of the higher thing of the police. It's all about having a bit of bottle. There's a geezer out there who's cutting up people, stabbing people, and you lock yourself in a car. All should have resigned. I think it's disgusting, and it shows what we've been talking about, the British police force, for such a long time. It's run by political idiots, and we haven't really got a police force, not like they do. It's a show of cowardice. Cowardice in the face of the enemy. He would have been, back in the days of old, they would have been taken out and shot at dawn. Poor old Dawn, they're all shooting around her, but they would have been shot at dawn, wouldn't they, Dave? They haven't resigned yet?
Or they would have been tarred and feathered in the United States. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, I couldn't show my face in public after that. You know, I mean, Jen.
I've often wondered, you know, how a normal person like us would react if you saw someone being attacked. Would you get out your car? I think that most patriots would, because
situations that I got involved where I shouldn't get involved. I ended up getting in more trouble because I got involved. On a number of occasions. We're the people that would do that. Dave would, I would, you would, and anybody that's sitting in the chat room who's listening to this would. If you were seeing someone being hacked or stabbed or something, you wouldn't even think twice about it.
You know,
a flick of your mind, but no, that person's been hurt. I've got to stop it. It's what we do. It's common sense, isn't it, Jane? We've been told off our family. You could have got killed, Dad. Well, at least I've saved someone's bloody life. That's why I look at it.
But I've just come across a picture on Facebook, and I don't know whether you've seen it, whether Cal's seen it or a few other people have seen it. Three British police officers standing with a Muslim imam, and they're all doing the ISIS salute with the one finger. Where the hell is the British forces with him? You know, what's good for the goose, etc. It really pisses me off. But back to what you were talking about.
It's the final appeasement, what do we call it? You know, the collaboration between our establishment and the
Islam. It is an obsession of our country, is what it is.
You're like me, Jan. We get lost for words. It makes us angry, like most of us sitting in the chat room. We just get so infuriated that this is going on in our country. We got people that are supposed to protect the citizens who lock themselves in a car. And I know of other situations. Now, I'm going to say this now, but there was, and I do know this was fact, when Lee Rigby was butchered on the streets of Woolwich, did you know the police was there already, Jan? They was there already, and they were hiding behind a car.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not as though we haven't seen this situation before. Where it used to be, where the police used to run, you know, back in the days, Jan, we remember as kids and growing up, that's what they used to do. They were very brave. I mean, we was proud of the old bobbies, weren't we, Jan? Even though we got clipped around here all now and again, but we respected them.
A kick up the ass, but you never went home and told your parents because you'd get more when you got home. But they're completely different now. I mean, are they like teachers that they only employ left wingers now? It seems that way to me.
That's what I'm saying. I'm bringing the socialism right into heart. We can start working on this socialist thing that Donald Trump talked about, because this is what caused the breakdown of societies. The socialism, political correctness, is doing our country, our nations, really severe damage. And it's going to take, if we're going to want to recover from this, we're going to have to do things drastically to change things around. And I don't know how you feel about it, Jan. I don't know how you feel about it, Dave, or our listeners even. But I do believe we need to do something really drastically. We need to sort this out before we find it deteriorate into chaos and anarchy, because that's what's coming, isn't it, Jan? Isn't it, Dave? That's what's coming in the UK.
It can, yeah. I just like to, throw in one example here, Jeff. And I'll read this very quickly because we only have a few moments left. You know, it's an example of someone who isn't like the cowardly cop that hid inside the car and didn't even have a radio, for God's sake. This happened on August the 30th over here in the States. A Good Samaritan helps rescue a Cook County Sheriff's Office trapped in a burning squad car after a crash. Okay. Just a citizen, and they were never identified, but they pulled the deputy out of the car, and that's still the kind of thing that's what Jan was talking about. Ordinary citizens going to danger and not running away from it. That's just a tiny
of
bit
people that do
of
that,
hope there.
Dave.
You know what
Look,
I'm saying?
I know we talk about the cowardness, but
we've
got a lot of good people. People have died
there
trying
sure
to rescue
are.
People before. We know that. So we're not speaking bad of people like that, because we know there's more good out there that do sort of things, heroic things, than there are of the ones who sit, lock themselves in cars and wait for the troops to arrive to save the day. But anyway, I just want to say, before we start closing the show, Dad, as I say, we are really near the end. Kel wants you to know, Jan, that it was such a pleasure. She said, tell Jan it is great to hear her voice again. And she's give you a little heart there, Jan, just to let you know.
Oh, thank you, Kel. It's nice that you're in the chat room. I wish I was in there with you chatting away, but I'll get in there one of the days. It's my computer's playing.
You certainly will, Jan. Once again, Jan, it's we was ready at the starting blocks, wasn't we, today for the story about the army.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say to you, Jan was basically almost jumping up and down. She was so infuriated with this story, wasn't you, Jan?
Look at the faces on them lads and compare them to the faces on the people that were made to greet Tony Blair a few years back. You know, they wanted to kill him, really,
exactly.
Like we all do. But
this was genuine. The look on the lad's face was a genuine happy to meet this young man, happy to meet someone they admire, because that's how way it come across, isn't it, Jan? They admire him because he's a leader. That's it, he's a leader.
How many times has he been to prison for his principles? Just speaking the truth. How many times? Who else would go to prison like Tom Robinson has? You don't hear anything about that.
Well, that's it. And that's what I heard with Katie Hopkins and hearing how emotional Tommy got when he's talking about his wife. That really moved me, Jan. I couldn't stop thinking about, what's going through that young man's mind. He's only a young man, for goodness sake, isn't he? Was he 35, 36? You know, he's only a young chap with a young family and he's almost like writing a will and testament to his children to let them know what he did, what he did, what he's done. Oh, my God, Jed. But he is a hero. I don't care what anybody says. Tommy Robinson is a hero. There's not many people, and we've lost people. Kevin Cream, that young man. He was only a young man. He had a family, didn't he, Jan? He died in extraordinary...
Yeah.
Extraordinary ways. We still haven't got the true thing, what happened to that young man.
We probably never will.
But we know it was intentional. No matter what they say or whatever, we know they colluded to cover up exactly what happened to that young man. Jane, your final thoughts for today? I've got to thank you, Jane, for all you do, all the great...
Shot them in the legs when she could have took them between the eyes. Had I been a policewoman, that had got the bullet between the eyes, not in the legs. She was obviously ordered to take him down with the legs. But anyway, final thought.
I agree 100%. And I think they would, you know, you see them coming towards you, pop between the eyes. I don't care what they say. Yeah. You know, if you go to, have to go to court over it, so what? He was going to kill me. He wanted to kill me. And so I took him out. I'm a police officer. That's what I was trained to do. I took him down. But Jan, your final thoughts for today? And I know you've got probably quite a lot. Where can we find you, Jan, during the week?
Constitution Defence League. I've opened the page up again. I had to. On another account, because they've tumbled who I am. So they keep banning me and doing all sorts to me.
Oh.
I've just had a friend I'll be quick. I've just had a friend request. It made me smile. Of someone called Asif. I am banned again. And I thought, you know, it comes over like a Muslim name. But it's called Asif.
Asif.
I like it.
Thank you to all you in the all of you folks in Nick. The chat room. Sorry I couldn't join you today. Cal, so glad to hear from you. Let's have a talk soon and keep the faith, people. If they drive us in the UK underground, they will regret it. And God bless Tommy Robinson and his family. God bless all patriots for whatever country you belong to. We will. We will come on top. We will. We'll beat Islam.
We will. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for everything you've done today.
Thank you, Jeff, and we'll see you soon, Jan.
Bless you. Dave, your final thoughts and where the great listeners and everybody can find you during the week, because you're always a busy man.
All right. Well, please check me out at the Unplays the Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. And that goes through, several outlets. We don't have much time, so I'll just say, I'm on at 1 p.m. Eastern in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the UK, BST, Monday through Friday. And I have new shows on Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States and 5 a.m. In the UK. The show that I'm doing right now is probably a good one to listen to if you want to kind of live a healthier lifestyle and get prepared for what's coming, like the stuff that's going on. And if you're a lefty or if you're oversensitive or whatever, the show that's coming out on Saturday is only going to make you less angry than the one that's going to come out the week after that. So please check me out. And Jeff and Jan, I love you both like family. Thank you for a great show today. To all the patriots, the foot soldiers, angels, and the supporters of the cause of the English Defense League and the patriots around the world. No surrender ever. Go back to you, Jeff. Go, go, go.
Thank you very much, Dave. We're running really, really close to the wire now. But thank you, everybody that's been here today. Kel, Gary, Volk, everybody's been here. With that, we're going underground. We got to. We'll see you Sunday. And just to let you know, Jan, Kel says let's Skype. That's what she said. So there you go.
Yep.
Anyway, we got to do this. We're going to go underground. Cheers, guys. No surrender. No surrender ever. go. Well, that's another live show done and dusted. Very, very interesting show today, ladies and gentlemen. Very highly charged. I've got to thank Jan and Dave and everybody that was in the chat that was making comments from that. Absolutely fantastic today. I really enjoyed the show, and I hope you did. Our listeners out there, I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as myself, Jan and Dave, as about presenting the show today. So, as you can hear, my parrots in the background are wishing you all well. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you this Sunday. Okay, guys? So, you take care, you stay safe, and please, please be vigilant. Okay, guys? So, we'll see you soon. Cheers, everybody. This is the English Defence League radio show signing off for today. And we'll see you Sunday. No surrender. No surrender ever. Cheers, guys.